Life-Saving Ministries. I'm Minister Linda, along with Dr. John Paul from Life-Saving Ministries, coming to give you hope in Jesus Christ. I want to read one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible that makes several promises all in one for the seekers. And that is 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." One thing I want to call to your attention is healing begins when unforgiveness ends. I also want to call to your attention that forgiveness from God doesn't mean that you will not pay worldly consequences, because all sin has consequences. He is a just God, and justice will be done here in the world for our sins. But God is a forgiving God, and His forgiveness is eternal. Jesus Christ came to set a pattern of His unconditional love, His unlimited forgiveness, and His forbearing, long-suffering compassion. He came to us. He was born to die that we might live life in abundance. He is the great I Am, the God who can do above abundantly, exceedingly whatever we can ever apprehend or comprehend. He is beyond our understanding and grasp, for here we see in part, but later we will see in full. When He was on the cross, we were on His mind. What a wonderful Savior who would sacrifice His life for us, that we might be saved and live again. We must reach out to receive the promises of God, being thankful and rejoicing in all ways at all times, being thankful for what we have and not ungrateful for what we do not have. We must be found walking in the divine love nature and character of Christ. The blood of Christ must cover the doorpost of our heart. God the Father must see God the Son when He looks upon us upon Judgment Day. God will answer His promises, the promises in His Word, and bring fulfillment if we are operating in the divine love, nature, and character of Christ, placing our wholehearted love, faith, trust, belief, and hope in Him. We must reach out to receive His promises, which are gifts He bestows upon us when we are in alliance, which is oneness, reliance, which is trusting in Him wholeheartedly, and in compliance, obedient, and living His Word, walking in truth, walking in the Spirit. We must perceive with a vision lest we perish, seeing past the struggle, believe, placing wholehearted trust in Jesus Christ, for He is the way, the truth, the life, there is no other. We must conceive, birthing His promises into reality, travailing as in childbirth, pressing on under the sun until the victory is won, the fulfillment of His promises. All promises are activated by love, God's unconditional love and faith. It is our activated now, know-so faith, which applicates God's faithfulness unto us. When our promises are just about to be fulfilled and we're on the verge of receiving, the tempter will come. He comes in many ways, through mind diversion. Doubt, fear, worry, and anxiety begins to mount. Spiritual warfare begins to bring a spirit of heaviness. Remember always, doubt, fear, worry, and anxiety cancel faith, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. The tempter comes to tempt us, putting us in danger as far as the fulfillment of our promises. He comes as an invader, invasion of temptation, which lures, tempts, entices, seduces us into evil patterns. We must stay our mind on Christ to be kept in perfect peace. We cannot let our minds take us into vain imaginations, for we must keep Christ in our conscious remembrance at all times. We must reach out and receive God's promises and begin to operate therein in order to achieve what He has divinely purposed for us. Promises are given in order for us to reach out and receive, to achieve the peace, power, and productivity to fulfill God's promises, that fulfillment of God's vows might be achieved and we would have power to complete the task through His regeneration of the living Word. Therefore, to sum this up, I want to say that you must perceive with a vision, believe and trust wholeheartedly in Jesus Christ. You must conceive and birth the promises in your life in order to receive and achieve these promises in fulfillment of God's vows unto us. Victory is found in Jesus Christ, the Word. His Word carries many, many promises, and we have to do our part in order for us to perform our vows and the complete fulfillment be performed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He promises to complete the good works He has begun in you. He promises to fulfill His vows and His promises unto you. Stand on God's Word. His Word will stand sure, for it is for certain. Perceive, believe, conceive, and receive to achieve. Once again, I'm going to say, perceive with a vision, for He says, without a vision we shall perish. Believe, putting all hope, faith, trust, and belief in Jesus Christ. Conceive and birth the promise unto fruition. Achieve. Let not the enemy come to steal, kill, destroy, and devour the fulfillment of your promise. Let not doubt, fear, worry, or anxiety creep in, because it will take you into vain imaginations. But instead, believe wholeheartedly in God, for He is not a God that He will lie. See past the struggle. Let there be peace in the valley. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, lean not into your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your every step. Walk in the promises of God, for in His promises lie purpose and destiny on into eternity. This requires that you insist, persist, resist the tempter. The tempter will come. Temptations will mount. Fall not, fail not, yield not to temptation. For what you do with temptation could burst sin. Again, insist, persist, resist, and the devil will flee from you. God gives many promises to those who are being tempted. He promises power to tread on evil forces. Luke 10:19 says, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He promises safety to those being tempted, safety through Christ's intercession. Luke 22:31 says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He promises the bruising of the serpent's head in Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. He provides provision of a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He will be your succor in trying hour. Hebrews 2:18 says, for in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. That means He is able to help you and to deliver you from the temptation. He promises final victory. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Here it is. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's also confirmed and affirmed in 1 John 4:4 and Revelation 3:10. The greatest promise is He promises enthronement with Christ. Revelation 3:21 says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. The tempter will become a tormentor in the end if you allow a crack or crevice for him to enter in. God gives you promises of strength to carry on. In 2 Samuel 22:40, he says, "For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me." Isaiah 28:5 says, "In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people." Isaiah 28:6 says, "And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate." Isaiah 40:31 is a very great promise for strength. The Lord says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Daniel 11:32 says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Ephesians 3:16, "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Our God is invincible and nothing is impossible for him. He desires to do great exploits here on earth with you. Let's reach out now and receive hope from God's promises as you place wholehearted love for and trust in his holy word, the living logos, the word, the truth, which is Jesus Christ coming alive in you via faith, in your heart, by faith, that you would wholeheartedly love him and believe in the fulfillment of his promises. We are called to work, for the night is coming when man works no more. God makes special promises to his religious workers. Daniel 12:3 says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." We're on a soul-winning, soul-saving mission for the Lord. Mark 9:41 says, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." Romans 2:10 says, "But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile." We are to reach out to everyone. There can be no prejudice or favoritism at the foot of the cross. 1 Corinthians 3:14 says, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." We are called to be a well of salvation where the lost can draw from the living waters within our well, which should be a perpetual well, like an artesian well that is always there. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." James 1:25 says, "But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed." There are true rewards for the workers of the kingdom. If you are a soul winner on a soul-saving mission for the Lord, you will have spiritual crowns to cast at Jesus' feet. Guidance and leadership must be sought. Guidance is promised to the obedient. God promises guidance, which brings us into pleasant paths. Psalm 23:2 says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." He provides guidance in making decisions. Psalm 25:9 says, "The meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways." He will provide guidance unto the end of life. Psalm 48:14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." He provides guidance by wise counsel. Psalm 73:24 says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." He will guide us by his still, small voice. Isaiah 30:21 says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way. Walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. He will provide guidance in the midst of our uncertainties. Isaiah 42:16 says, "And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them." He will guide us by divine illumination. Luke 1:79 says, "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." He will guide us into all truth. John 16:13 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you the things to come." Guidance must be sought. Psalm 5:8 says, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." Psalm 25:5 says, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Psalm 27:11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Psalm 143:10 says, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." We must remain teachable at all times. Reachable to reach out and grasp the truth with an outreach ministry of reconciliation to bring others to the saving knowledge of Christ. Where and when does God lead us? He leads us into ways everlasting. What we must desire is more love, more power, and more of Him. Listen to Michael W. Smith sing. Christ, our Lord and Savior. How and where has He led His people, His divine leaders? He leads in difficult places for testing. Imagine that. You wonder why you've had to undergo difficult places. It's a part of the testing which purifies. Tests, trials, and tribulations is what births transformation and change. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." We undergo tests, trials, and tribulations because they reveal the condition of our heart. The divine leaders lead like a mother bird, teaching her young to fly. Deuteronomy 32:11 says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. It is always God that provides our wise counsel and divine leadership. If we open our ear to hear, our heart to receive, and our body to walk in his divine love, character, and nature of Christ, following the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. He leads us in a plain path. Psalm 27:11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." He's an all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, ever-present God. He knows the way before us. He walks the dark hills to protect us. He leads like a shepherd. Psalm 77:20 says, "Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." He leads us. There is no place beyond the reach of God's hand. Psalm 139:9 says, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." He leads us steadily toward the cross. Mark 10:32 says, "And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto them." He leads us steadily toward the cross. He leads us to the border of the unseen. Luke 24:50-51 says, "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." The Spirit of God leads and guides us into ways everlasting. Believe for sure that God puts his divine hand upon men for blessings. We must make haste, lest we become waste and refuse in a desolate place. We can no longer procrastinate, putting off what we need to do today until tomorrow. Today is the day of promise. Stand firm, steadfast, trust and obey, knowing he, Jesus Christ, is the only way, truth, and life. He is your ram in the bush. He will be there right on time. He's a behind the scene, on the scene, on time God. Always right on time. God promises health to the obedient. In Exodus 15:26, "And said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Deuteronomy 7:15 says, "And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee." Proverbs 4:22 says, "For they are life unto these that find them, and health to all their flesh." Jeremiah 30:17 says, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of all thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after." God promises special immunity from calamities, and it's real important that you take heed and hearken to these promises. Exodus 8:22 says, "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth." Exodus 9:6 says, "And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all of the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one." Exodus 9:26 says, "Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail." Exodus 11:7 says, "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." Exodus 12:13 says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Exodus 15:26 says, "And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." I want to emphasize that our God is a great healer, protector, deliverer, and he provides divine protection, immunity, and security. Mark 16:18 says, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." These are God's divine promises unto you. I have a very important question for you. Is the blood covering on the doorpost of your heart? God is a God of hope, guidance, and deliverance. He gives us reason to make the divine walk, the walk of his divine love, character, and nature. Are you ready to make that walk? We will begin that in the next week or so. Can you say right now, "All my bags are packed and I'm ready to go"? You're ready to go down this divine walk, his love nature. We're going to be ready to pick up and do that. Right now, I want you to listen as we close out this program. I'm Minister Linda, along with Dr. John Paul from Life Saving Ministries. Listen to a song sung by Donna Robertson, "That Wonderful Savior." Love God's way. See you next week.
Who hears every prayer in sunshine? If you call, he'll be there. That wonderful Savior who makes the